episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we're back again for another preview episode of our football programs. This time, we are talking the UTEP Miners, year two under Scotty Walden. Let's see what the Miners can do in 2025. And joining me here on the set here at CUSA headquarters is the beautiful Jess Radford. Jess, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm surprised you're not gone already since your birthday is coming up. I have to plug that. Everyone tell Jess happy birthday. It's coming up this weekend. Yes, so
I'm turning 21, JK.
21 at heart, of course. But we're super excited here to have Jess again on the show while Josh is out of town enjoying his vacation in Canada. But joining us from UTEP, from El Paso, we have Brett Bloomquist covering all things UTEP Miners for the El Paso Time. Brett, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
All right. Glad to be here.
All right. First things first, my first question for you, obviously year two under head coach Scotty Walden. What can fans expect? Anything different out of the Miners this year compared to last year that fans can be on the lookout for in 2025?
Well, they should have a little better idea what they were doing. You know, last year was such a radical change from anything they'd been doing before. You know, Scotty Walden's system is quite unlike what they were doing. And, you know, so there was a whole year of adjusting. They've also now had back-to-back probably the two best recruiting classes maybe ever back-to-back. So, you know, some of those players are starting to trickle onto the field now. And I think I think there's just the normal second year excitement that's going to, you know, hoping they can take a big jump now that they've had a whole year in the system and a year knowing what they're doing.
And also, we've got two new coordinators on the staff on the offensive and defensive side. What are you hearing maybe at press conferences or from the guys in the locker room about those two new guys who've just joined the staff and Mark Kalla and Bobby Daly?
Yeah, you know, I think that's going well. I think, in both cases, they're not changing the system. They're still doing what they're doing last year. Really, the offensive coordinator, I mean, Scotty Walden is the main play caller, and that hadn't changed. But, yeah, I think it's gone well. It seems like, in the spring, everybody was saying it was going smooth. There was a lot of familiarity with what they're doing, even though it was coming from a little bit different voice. But, even though they've got two new coordinators, I think it's a lot about continuity because, you know, they brought in those coordinators to continue to run what they've been doing.
Awesome. And then you mentioned you've been at camp quite a bit over the last several weeks. I'm sure you're seeing some stuff out there. Is there one or two things that you're really keying in on, maybe position groups that you're trying to figure out who the starters may or may not be? Anything that you can share with us and the fans out there on what you've been keying in on in practice?
Yeah, I mean, the whole big story is, of course, the quarterback battle, which, you know, they said it certainly a four-way battle when it all started. And I've been kind of looking at that, just seeing how they're divvying up reps. And boy, they're really trying to keep this cloak and dagger. I even had a tweet about that they asked me to take down when I kind of gave some thoughts as to who might be winning. But so they're really guarding that, even though they say they want to have one by mid-camp, which would be really less than a week at this point. So we'll see what happens after the Saturday scrimmage that I won't be allowed to go to. But I have a feeling that's where they're gonna pick their quarterback, and I think right now it's looking like it's gonna be Malachi Nelson or Skylar Locklear. Skylar Locklear is the incumbent. Malachi Nelson was the five-star, a former five-star, who they got in transfer from Boise by way of USC. So, anyway, that's been the main thing there, watching that, and then also the offensive line they brought in. They've got so many new faces there. And some old ones trying to win jobs. So there could be a lot of turnover. That seems to be one position where the depth chart looks a little different from day to day.
I mean, I think that's been for me, when looking at the Miners offseason, what people have been talking about, the quarterback battle has got to be top of the top, which is actually why we saved this episode for a little bit later in fall camp. We got the people who we knew who the quarterback was going to be out of the way first, and we've kind of been keeping the quarterback battle episodes for later. But you mentioned Skylar Locklear, Malachi Nelson. Anything else that you can maybe tell the fans about Malachi Nelson who may not know a whole lot about him? Obviously, transferred in, I believe, from Boise State, but did not actually start there. So tell us a little bit more about that battle, if you could.
Yeah, Malachi Nelson, you know, like I said, the most touted prospect easily that UTEP's ever had. I mean, they don't get many five stars out here in El Paso, and he was one once. And, you know, I'll be honest, he kind of looked a little lost in the spring. And, you know, I thought after spring, I thought he was a pretty clear number four. But he's come on now in the fall. He looks more like, I think, what everybody was expecting when he came on. He certainly brings athleticism and arm strength and seems to now be developing a better grasp of the offense and what he's doing. You know, Skylar Locklear, this is actually his third year in the system. He came over, you know, he played a year for Walden and Austin Peay and then transferred over, eventually won the job last year. Then did lose it at midseason, but then later got it back because of an injury. And, you know, I mean, he looks more comfortable. I think he gives them, you know, a running element. You know, they like to run some option with him. And, you know, he's been through the battle. So he's, you know, he counts as the incumbent. He started a majority of the games last year. And so anyway, it's sort of an interesting battle between, you know, the new guy that they brought in and then the returning one. So, you know, and it looks like those two are getting the most reps now.
Awesome. You talked a little bit about the QB battle. I just want to know from your perspective, you're being at practice every day. Is there anybody that hasn't been mentioned yet or just not from you, just from social media, anybody that might be a sleeper that we should look out for, like a breakout star for the Miners?
You know, they've got these huge freshman offensive linemen. I mean, it was very noticeable that, you know, that's what they looked to bring in the offseason was more size there. And those guys, you know, freshmen, it takes them a while, you know, especially at the offensive line position. But they brought in these guys that are 6'6", 6'6", 6'7", 6'8". And, you know, Walden has been pretty clear in this day and age, you don't really redshirt people. You'll end up redshirting them for someone else in this, you know, with the transfer portal and the NIL and all that. So they'll probably look to play right away. Elijah McCoy at running back, he's a guy who's really stood out. And then they have a couple of freshman defensive backs who have T.J. Tillman and then let's see here. Yeah, T.J. Tillman, and they really like his speed. So they do have some freshmen who've been coming on. And like I said, they've had these great recruiting classes, and I think we're finally going to start to see, you know, start to see some of those guys get the field. And you know, when you bring in the highest rated recruiting class in the conference and one of the top two, you're sort of going to be expecting to see some of those freshmen right away.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, Scotty Walden, no stranger to Texas high school football recruiting, no stranger to Texas college football either at some lower levels before he got to up to UTEP. But two names that really stick out to me on a list of key returners are wide receiver Cam Thomas and wide receiver Kenny Odom. What have you been seeing out of those two guys in camp? Any other wide receivers on the depth chart that we should be on the lookout for as we head into the 2025 season?
It certainly starts with those two. And Cam Thomas is also the kind of the position he plays that also involves he'll line up a lot in the backfield as well. And he's also an all-conference kick returner too. And then Kenny Odom. Yeah. I mean, he's certainly the big name there to watch. You know, Ashton Nickelberry is someone else to watch who had a pretty good year last year. And then, you know, other guys like, you know, a redshirt freshman, Wanda Mae Davis has been standing out. And then, Kai Pruitt's another name to kind of watch. So, yeah, they've got a lot of receivers there in the mix that the up-tempo offense they play. Marcus Torres, that's who I was thinking of. He's a freshman from here in El Paso. And, you know, they'll end up playing a lot of receivers, but certainly starts with Cam Thomas and Kenny Odom.
I did also want to talk about the defensive side of the ball as well. Any key returners or key transfers on that side of the ball that we need to be keeping an eye out on?
Yeah, I think their best player on the team is probably Xavier Smith, their safety. He's he was a guy who was a freshman all-conference player at Austin Peay 2 years ago, and then, of course, a sophomore at UTEP last year, and now a junior. And, yeah, he's sort of where it all starts. And then, Katie Johnson, obviously on the line is big. Then, let's see here. They got that bandit position. Echo Taylor would be someone to watch there. It's sort of a hybrid between a linebacker and a defensive end. Also, Udoka Iziani, someone else to watch there on defense, also at that bandit position. So, yeah, they've got a fair number of returners on defense, and they are going to be a little more veteran there and should be better, particularly at stopping the run. That was something they really struggled at last year, and it's something they look like they might be better at this year.
Awesome. Well, let's take a look at the Miners 2025 schedule here for a second. Obviously, UTEP goes 3-9 last year. Some close matchups that just didn't go their way last year. Some games that really got out of hand quickly. But I really do look at this schedule and see some great things, including a 3-game homestand there in the Sun Belt. Or in the Sun Belt, listen to me, in the Sun Bowl in the middle of the season. I think that is going to be great. Obviously, Miner faithful show up there to home games in the Sun Bowl. But is there a certain group of games or a certain game that you have circled on the schedule as one to watch as we look toward this season?
Yeah, I know this might be kind of a boring answer, but the first one, Utah State, I think they're going there. They're a 3.5-point underdog, so certainly a winnable game. And, if they win that, then they'd have a pretty good chance to be 2-0 going into, potentially against number one Texas. They've never played a number one team in their history before. I don't think there's much expectations there other than to pick up a big paycheck. But, that Utah State opener, that's also, against a Mountain West team there, I guess their last year in the Mountain West. But, yeah, I think it'd be real interesting. That's just not the type of game that UTEP has won when they've had to travel to something that's not an adjoining state. They tend not to do very well. And it's been a long time since they've traveled west and won a game. So that'll be interesting to see. And it does, 3.5-point spread looks kind of like a toss-up. If they could win that, I think they could go on to have a pretty good year. But that's going to be tough.
Yeah, for sure. I think you look at, too, something that's unique about UTEP's schedule that is not the same with, I guess, a lot of Conference USA teams that we've talked about. No early conference games. We've got a week zero conference game between WKU and Sam Houston next week. Several schools that have week one or week two conference matchups. You guys don't have a conference matchup until week 5 at home versus Louisiana Tech. What are you guys looking for heading into the Conference USA season? Has coach said anything about CUSA play or anything like that as you look forward, as you look toward the CUSA slate?
No, I think where he thinks they need to be better is in those close games. They had a few of those last year that they felt they could, as he always points out, they had 3 losses by like a combined, all of them less than a touchdown. And I think they just look at kind of getting better there, particularly in this Conference USA slate. I mean, obviously, the game they're always looking for is the New Mexico State game. That's their arch rival, of course. And that's a rivalry. It's about to go on hiatus for a couple of years because of just scheduling issues with, conference changings. They just need to be better in close games. And of course, they're sort of interesting this year. They got, Delaware and Missouri State, both of them right there at the end of the year after they maybe had a chance to get up to a little bit of speed in their first year in the FBS. So, I think they just feel they need to be better. And if they can finish off some of these close games that they were in last year and couldn't finish.
Yeah, I look at this. The La Tech one to me is interesting, just coming off of last year. A 10-14 loss for the Miners in 2024. Can they come back and get revenge on them at home in 2025? We'll just have to see. One of the other things I saw, Liberty at home, great. No WKU on the schedule for the Miners this year. And then you get the reigning CUSA champions at home in Jack State. And then also, like you said, Brett, you've got Missouri State and Delaware, the two newcomers to Conference USA. And those games are actually both away. So those will be interesting, I'm sure, for the Miners as well. But definitely a fun conference slate. Obviously, you got in-state Sam Houston and then your rivalry game against New Mexico State as well, tying it to round it all off. So should be a really good, interesting, fun CUSA slate for the Miners. But like you said, that Utah State game, I've got it marked as well, as it should be kind of a litmus test for what we should see from the minors this season. We'll have to see who's going to go out there at quarterback, though. That's still, I guess, our biggest question mark at the moment.
Yeah. And we'll see how much longer it's a question mark for. Like I said, Walden has kind of hinted that he would like to name someone. He said by the midpoint of camp, they got that scrimmage Saturday the 16th. I think it'll be interesting to see about there. Who comes out Sunday night and takes snaps with the ones after that. But I have a feeling that may be our answer, but that's also something they're trying to keep secret. So we'll see.
Ah, the secrets, keeping things so close to the vest.
You always have to. You got to have the element of surprise.
Absolutely.
No, but we talked about coaching staff. We talked about the players year two underneath Coach Walden. And then you talk about best recruiting classes so far. Just what are you excited about for this season?
I am excited to see some of these, you know, these young players, the guys from these recruiting classes, to see what they can do. You know, like I said, UTEP normally just doesn't have highly touted recruiting classes. They never have. And this is sort of different. So I'm sort of interested to see what this starts meaning on the field.
Well, we all know that Coach Walden's going to bring the energy. He is not short of that. That is for sure. So we can at least expect that some, I don't know. He was like getting some like, I don't know, several foot verticals last year on the sidelines. So it was a lot of fun to watch. Well, Brett, we always like to ask this to our reporters and our beat writers who come here on the show. Just tell us a little bit about how you got your start there at the El Paso Times, or just covering the UTEP Miners in general, for maybe some aspiring journalists that we have out there.
Well, I've been kind of doing this all my career. I was in San Angelo for a long time, actually covering Angelo State football there. But then, then I'd gone up to work for Track and Field News and then ended up getting laid off there. And then an old friend of mine, when I was in San Angelo, he was a sports editor in Odessa, and then he was sports editor out here in in El Paso back in 2006. And that's when I got hired here. And it sort of has occurred to me at some point fairly recently, I've spent more time in El Paso now than I've spent anywhere else in my life. It's sort of weird thinking there, you know, I didn't get out here until I was in my 40s, but I guess that would have been very late 30s. So, because I've been out here, about 20 years now, 19 years. So, it sort of surprised me. It sort of snuck up on me. But one thing, as soon as I got out here, I fell in love with this town. A lot of people do. And by my second year here, I was covering UTEP, kind of just inherited the beat after the guy who was doing it moved on, and been real excited. Get the opportunity to get to go travel with them. That's not as much as it used to be, but still, you know, I'll be going up to Logan, Utah, and just love that part of it. Love the travel, and love going out to the practices and being around the teams, and you know, just kind of watching these whole things come together. It's been a lot of fun.
Man, we, as two people who have also been to El Paso, and we've got our friend Keith King sitting over here who used to work at UTEP also, we can tell you El Paso is a wonderful place. It is great. That is so unique. The Sun Bowl is just one of the, eight wonders of the college football world, I feel like. Fans, if you're out there and you have never been, make yourself go there this year, because it is an experience for sure.
Yeah, I love that stadium.
It's the coolest thing. All right. Well, Brett, good luck this season. We know that you need as much luck getting through the season as the players do half the time, because you're working hard as well. So 2025 is right around the corner. Good luck. And we'll be seeing you post about whoever's winning that quarterback battle here maybe in just a week.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Miner fans, stick around for my interview from CUSA Kickoff with head coach Scotty Walden, wide receiver Cam Thomas, and defensive lineman KD Johnson. All right, CUSA fans, welcome back to another segment of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. We are live here at the 2025 CUSA football kickoff here in Frisco, Texas, at the PGA of America headquarters. And we are so happy to have the UTEP Miners joining us here today. Head coach Scotty Walden here, Cam Thomas, and KD Johnson. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank
you
for having
us. Some Miner ball.
That's right. We are too. Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. So first question right out of the gate is obviously Coach Walden, first year with the program as head coach last year, coming into year two. What are you looking forward to with this team this year? Anything that you've learned from last year that you're bringing into the second season?
Yeah, I just love the spirit and the fight of this team. You know, you can look at our record and obviously see it was a tough season, hard starting out 0-6. you know, very difficult. Those are things that we don't shy away from. But the thing that, you know, I look for as a head football coach is, you know, how do we respond to that adversity, right? And these two gentlemen right here, there's a reason why they're sitting, you know, next to my side. And the rest of our guys that are back in El Paso right now are you know, working so hard is because of the belief we have in our culture. And I'm so excited about the guys that we brought in to, you know, help that culture as well enhance. But when you look at last year, you know, we won two out of our last three games, including the Battle of I-10, and we were down immensely in that game. And even you look at the Kennesaw win, you know, it's a double overtime victory early in the season. You know, we lost a double overtime game, you know, and then to later in the season win a game in that same deal. You know, it's kind of like you felt the team like, hey, we've been here before. Now it's time to get over the hump and win this game, as opposed to thinking about the end result. Hey, we're 1-2. It's about winning that moment in that game, and our kids never stop fighting. I think there's things that happened last year in year one that you can't measure in a stat column. You know, like the fight, the intensity of practice. These guys help lead those charges on both sides of the ball. So I'm really excited the way we ended the season with momentum, and we just had a phenomenal spring. And I'm not just talking about recruiting development. You know, we're stronger, we're faster. These guys have been unbelievable leadership wise. And so I'm really excited to see this team get out and put some pads on and compete in the fall, because it's been a great offseason.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it internally in our office. You guys showed some flashes of brilliance last year.
Yeah.
What is this going to look like when it all comes together?
That's right.
So from a player perspective, what are you guys looking forward to coming into this 2025 season? Any locker room mottos or anything that you guys are saying right now coming into this year?
Right now we're talking about like the pursuit. So like that's the thing, like we're preaching in the locker room as leaders. So like the pursuit of like the whole season, like we're on a chase to like to win. So like we do like a drill, like fourth quarter, do 15 reps. That's how many points we lost like last year to make a bowl game. So like we're preaching like this is our year. This is the year to do it. So we're locked in. We're ready to go.
Awesome. Yes, you got anything to add to that?
Going on back to our core values. So last year we had a lot of new guys, and this year adding in more with the trans supporter and everything. But really, we go back to our core values, which is Crudy, which is commitment, relentlessness, unselfishness, toughness, and integrity. Those are our five core values that I really lean on every day. That's like our main motto around the locker room and around the stadium and everything.
Well, so you look at college football today in general, there's a lot of different things happening, transfer portal, realignment, all of these things. But
yeah,
you guys have a lot of new guys on your roster, but you've got new faces on your coaching staff as well. Is the brand of UTEP football going to look similar as it was last year? Is there something different we might be able to expect on the field this year?
Yeah, I think, and you mentioned this, I just wanted to say this before I answer that question, is, and I'm going to mention this in our press conference, you know, coming up, but like, we're just so thankful to Conference USA. And all of you guys, and Judy, especially her leadership, I think it speaks to the leadership of this conference, of how they treated us since obviously we're in transition. And just the fact the way the first class way that you guys have treated us, we're beyond grateful. We've been a member institution of Conference for 20 years, and we're proud of that and thankful for you guys. And we know this day and age of constant change in college football is difficult to navigate. And these guys have, you know, these are two guys right here. We kind of talk about the portal and stuff. These guys could have left for six-figure deals, you know, to other programs. That's the reality of it. And they decided to stay. And that's why, you know, when I, you know, feel like getting lazy or feel like, you know, going home early and, you know, I'm tired, I think about these guys. And I think about these guys that, you know, these are the guys I want to win for and our staff wants to win for. In terms of how we will look this year, we're not going to change our core philosophies of who we are. We are still going to be an attack style offense. We're still, you know, the Blue Blaze is going to snap the ball every 12 seconds, and tempo is our main key. And that doesn't mean that, you know, we're fast all the time. We've got to, you know, simulate tempo. I think people misconstrue that sometimes. So there's a lot of stoppages in the game now. TV timeouts, injuries. I hope that stops. Let's hope. You know, we put some rules in place for that. But we have to simulate that tempo as well. On defense, the orange swarm defense, you know, we're going to be an attack style defense. You know, we led the conference last year in sacks and TFLs. And, you know, part of that is, you know, is that guy right there helping that charge, you know. And, you know, so we're still going to have that brand of football. Bringing in two new coordinators, you know, in a normal sense, you would think that there's going to be some changes. We're a little different. Mark Kalla from TCU is our new offensive coordinator. phenomenal football coach, great offensive mind, has brought a lot of things to the table to help enhance our offense. And Bobby Daly from Montana State, our new defensive coordinator, was arguably had the best defense in all of FCS football last year. He's brought in a lot of things to add to our defense, but I'm a firm believer that the coaches should have to adapt and not the players. And so like our terminology and those things, we need to pick up where we left off. I think that's how you build a program, as opposed to if we're just wavering with change all the time, terminology, all this, it's not fair to these guys. So I think that's been really cool to see them adopt. Hey, maybe this looks a little different, but it's called the same, right? So we can pick up where we left off.
Yeah, and I appreciate your kind words there at the beginning. I just want to say, you know, for us, it's all about the student athlete. No offense, but it's all about the student.
As it should be, 100%, as it should be.
For us, it's all about the student athlete and the student athlete experience, and that's what we're going to focus on first and foremost. So I do appreciate the kind words there. For you guys, obviously, transfer portal, lots of newcomers every year these days. Every team in Conference USA, some people have 50-plus, 60-plus, 70-plus newcomers on their roster. For y'all, from a player perspective, is it difficult to get to know the new guys? Do you try and bring them in really quick, or does it take some time to kind of get everybody in the fold?
I'll say it takes some time, but it's not the end of the world. You know, as time comes, especially with fall camp coming around, you may be around guys almost basically 24/7. That bond is going to build. And as a team, we're going to come together, especially on defense, even though there's a lot of us coming in. We had a lot of seniors last year, or guys who's not with us no more, but we still got to bring them in. So we've been really bonding lately. We've been a lot of cookouts, a lot of fun, a lot of fun stuff outside the field. That, you know, it takes to build a brotherhood.
Yeah, 100%. Like even like when the transfer in, they're not used to like our workouts and how we do things. So like when we start working out on the field, it's like really hard, and you have to go through hard things to like be great as a team. So therefore, like when they come in and it's hard, we're like, bro, come on, like it's gonna be good. So like they bring us like closer. Like Katie said, like, we hang out, we go bowling, we go cookouts and stuff like that. So we're a team right now. We're unified right now. So it's really good.
All right. Y'all are leading me into my next question. We're going to flip. I may ask one more football question later, but we're going to flip to some fun questions still. So I love asking this question because I think it gives the fans that watch the show a little insight into what's going on in the locker room. So tell me who the funniest player on the team is.
Ooh.
Who's always cutting up making people laugh?
Here we go.
Because you were making me laugh last night. So I can't even imagine who it might be.
Oh, we got some guys.
Oh, man. Oh.
It's hard to think
so
about.
It
we must
is.
Have a couple.
We do.
I would
say Caleb Walker. Hilarious.
He's a pretty fun guy.
Caleb Walker, new transfer, is okay. Hilarious.
Dry funny or just
nah.
Like,
okay. He's electric. Like, you know? Yeah. He's always doing something. Like, you look at him, it's like what's new today?
Yes. It's something. I give Caleb that title. Yes.
Okay. Coach, do you have anyone different or anyone like coaching staff who you would give that title to?
Man, I'll stay with the coaching staff. I can speak to that. I'd probably say Gino Gigliotti, our general manager, is so like he's from the Northeast, and he is so direct and so like sometimes I don't think he's trying to be funny, but he's so direct and blunt and honest that I find it comical.
Yeah.
He's a heck of a GM, but I mean,
with a name like Gino Gigliotti,
he's a dude. Funny story, just side real quick story. So the lowrider thing that went viral for us last year, right? Okay, that was, you know, we had the kind of genesis of that was us talking in a room, and then it's kind of like up to our support staff to go figure that out. And so with some help, but Gino, his deal to get the lowriders going is Gino just got hired. He was at Syracuse. Okay, I told you from the Northeast. Now he's in West Texas, and he has to go speak to a lowrider association in El Paso. And I wasn't there, but I can envision how that went. And that just, it's comical. Yeah. But he got it done, and it was elite. And so I'd go with Gino. He's my guy.
I love that. Okay, on the opposite end of that question, who is too serious and needs to lighten up a little bit?
Josh Rudolph.
Josh Rudolph.
Yes.
Okay. Just too
much. Yeah, he's.
John's been playing ball for some time now. I feel like it just comes with the age.
Yeah.
But, you know, you need the commander for everybody. You know, brings us in and everything. He's the, I'm not going to call him too strict, but, you know. He's intense. That's a good word.
That's a great word for it.
Okay, I love it. All right. I love asking our student athletes this question because you guys are student first, athlete second. So tell me a little bit about what you guys are studying. You and I got to talk. We all talked about it a little bit yesterday when we were driving on our golf cart around. But tell me about what you're studying, what your career aspirations are once you are done with football.
Go for it, Katie.
Well, I lead us off. I'm in nursing school actually. So I'm done this August 20th, which is less than a month from now. I'll be a RN, and then I'm gonna take a couple years off. I'll work for a little bit. Then I want to go back to school, become a CRNA.
Awesome. We talked about this yesterday, but it's just one of those majors you don't see from a football player very often. And so really cool that you kind of stuck to your guns. You mentioned to me your mom works at MD Anderson in Houston. Love that you're kind of keeping that in the family. Very cool. Yeah. What about you?
I'm studying like commercial real estate. So I want to do real estate when I get done. Well, hopefully like NFL and stuff work out, but I want to do real estate when I get done with school.
Of course. Yeah. We've had a couple of commercial real estate guys come through here. Maybe y'all should just all get together and start a practice like earlier or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I told Cam when he hits it big, he's giving it back to the NIL fund for.
that's all I expect in return.
I got you, coach.
Yeah. All right. Two final questions for you here as we wrap up. One that I always ask to our UTEP folks is, what is it like to play in the Sun Bowl? One of the best, if not the best, college football stadiums in America.
Mm-hmm. It's the best.
Come on.
But it's amazing. It's like just knowing the history behind it, how they just blew up inside of a mountain and everything. Then every day when we work out, we look out and you see Mexico. It's a beautiful city. Like, I've been in for 3 seasons now. I'm probably one of the oldest guys on the team. Live for as how long I've been in. Like, I enjoy it. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the country. So it's just a beautiful stadium. It's a beautiful city. All the people that's around, all the support we get, all the love. It's amazing.
Yeah. I can attest to that. Like I'd be working out because our weight room is like we can look down through the Sun Bowl. Like, I'd be working out and I just like, I'm really like, this is like a dream. Like the sights, even like at nighttime, like we'd be at the stadium at nighttime, you can see like the lights. But it's like, it's crazy because like you don't, like people don't experience that. Like, I feel like people need to come out to El Paso and like really like take it in. And as far as like on game day, it's electric. Like the first home game, I was like, I never experienced like this. Like the fans at UTEP is like amazing. And then like playing in El Paso is amazing. Like, I'd be in Walmart with my UTEP shirt on or something like that. Then you got a little kid come up to you like, oh my God, you're a UTEP football player. And I think like that's like the greatest feeling ever. Like,
that's
cool. As low.
Yeah, but okay, your first home game, did you make it to the field on time? Because last night, you had to do a photo shoot. You almost made us like 20 minutes late. What?
You know, I'm a diva when it comes to that.
At least he can admit it.
When it comes to like putting on my uniform and like getting ready, like I'm always the last one to the bus. I'm always like the last one getting off the bus. Probably the last one getting on the field. You know,
you admit it.
It's okay, I own it. But it's just a part of me at this point. I just like make sure everything perfect before I leave. You know what I'm saying? But I want
excellence. I asked Coach last night. I said, "Does this quality of excellence like permeate into other areas?" He didn't really give me a straight answer, but I'm gonna say it.
Definitely does.
All right, final question for all of you. I love to ask our guests this. We have a large geographical span of schools here in Conference USA, but we travel well. So, tell me if a fan from Delaware, one of our new schools, comes to visit UTEP. Where do they need to go eat? We call this segment CUSA Eats. Give me a couple of restaurant recommendations.
I got one, especially, you know, El Paso. He's Hispanic background. So I say L&J Cafe. It's probably like 10, no longer than 15 minutes away from the Sun Bowl. That's pretty
good. Dean over there is nodding because he's.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yes.
For me, I'll probably go another staple, probably Kiki's Mexican restaurant. I'll probably go there.
All right. I've heard that one several times.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Those are my top two, but man, there's so many. So I found a new one, the best beef tacos I've ever had, called Su Casa, and it's not far from Kiki's. And then the other thing that we're real underrated on is steak. We got some of the best steak in the world.
I remember you telling us this last year.
1700 degree steakhouse in El Paso del Norte, the hotel downtown. One of the best steaks I've ever had. I've never been to a place where like they bring out like you know, they brought the steak out, right? And I noticed there's no steak knife. And I'm like, all right, what's happening? And my man opens up a box, and he says, pick your weapon of choice. And I'm like, what? And this is pick your knife. Like, yeah, this is a real deal place. So you got to try one of those too.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Okay, guys. Thank you guys so much for being here and joining us here on CUSA Insider. Excited to see what the Miners can do on the field this season. So Coach Walden, Cam, KD, thank you guys so much for being here. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yes, thank you. So thank you.
Thanks up. Appreciate you.
Huge thank yous to everyone out there in El Paso who joined us today for the show. We are just rolling on these preview episodes. We only have 4 left after this. Is that not crazy?
No, it is. You know how many we have in total?
12. 12.
We've been through 8. Math is hard.
Clearly, we were both communications majors and can't even do basic math. So, yes, Jess, tell us a little bit about what's coming up next week because I'm excited about it.
Oh, my gosh. We have some fun stuff next week. We have Sam Houston on August 19th, the day after my birthday, Big Leah season.
Shout out.
Okay, shout out. August 18th, that's the best day. Out of 365 days a year, August 18th is the best day. But we'll have Sam Houston on August 19th. What, you and Josh will be back for those two?
I think we'll be back for those, so that'll be fun.
And then we have WKU on Thursday, August 21st. And then week 0 conference match, August 23rd.
It is crazy.
Insane.
I'm excited for another week 0 conference matchup.
But I think that game just... for week 0, fresh out the gate, is a really good one to start conference play.
Yep, absolutely. New head coach there at Sam Houston, new quarterback at WKU, and we have some really exciting stuff going on in general around the league. A whole lot of new coaches, a lot of new quarterbacks, a lot of new transfers in, just a lot nature, a lot of new. It's the nature. 2 new members? I mean, goodness gracious. It's the nature of college football and college athletics in general these days. But then we'll follow it up. The final 2 will be Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State. I think you have the dates written down. I don't have them in front of me.
Oh, my gosh. That was insane. But Monday, August 25th, we have Jack State. That one will air. And then Wednesday, August 27th, Kennesaw State. We'll wrap it up.
We'll wrap it up. It'll put a pretty bow on it and get week 1 going. And then, man, we're full into football season at that point.
Yes. And it'll be so interesting because Jack State, they play for week 1. They play at UCF on what? 28th? I think that's a Thursday.
Oh, man. That's going to be a good one. Super excited for them. See what they can do under new head coach. Reigning CUSA champs. We'll have to be on the lookout for that one. And then you saw what Kennesaw State did last year. Big upset for them. Is there another one in the cards? We'll have to see.
We just got to speak into existence.
Big
upset. Well, yes. Kennesaw State will be playing at Wake Forest on Friday, August 29th. So I think those will be 2 good games.
Yeah, for sure. Get out there and play. Get out there and win. Okay. I love it. I love it. Well, if you want to make sure that you are catching every single one of these preview episodes that we have coming up in the next 2 weeks, be sure you are following CUSA Insider on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. Go ahead and find us on YouTube. Just search Conference USA in the search bar and you'll be able to find the CUSA Insider podcast where you can watch and listen to the show. But if you are still one of our OG audio only listeners, you can still find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And then send us any questions that you might have. You can email us at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. All right. Lots of exciting stuff happening around here. Excited to get not just football underway, but women's soccer and volleyball as well, guys. So be sure to head on over to conferenceusa.com and check out all of those schedules and where you can watch. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. That's all we have for you today. I'm Sarah Rudolph signing off.